WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And a belated Happy New Year to all. Hey, you're inside Rock and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of October 9th and 10th. And we all know in the parallel universe of Rock and Fin Radio, when a season opens, indeed calls for a Happy New Year. And yesterday, October 8th, the sea bass season reopened. Now, the limit has jumped to 10 fish, still at a 12.5-inch minimum. It's going to stay that way through Halloween, October 31st, and the limit's going to jump to 15 fish. Aha! The diabolical half-inch increase to 13 inches, but by then the fish will be far offshore. That's when you get on these long-range party boats and get out there, and those are going to be some overnight trips. Space is going to be limited, but you get some monster, what they call Goliath sea bass out there. You're talking 5, 6, 7 pounds. All possible a state record could be broken. Speaking of state records, last week we had on Rack and Fin Radio Craig Lemon, superintendent of the Hackettstown Hatchery up there in Warren County, with a great load of channel cats that were delivered to South Jersey two-year-old. Nice, big, thick channel kitties. And we did touch on the Landlocked, a.k.a. Atlantic Salmon Project, and what, 4 or 5 water bodies up there in North Jersey. Well, guess what? The state record was broken earlier this week by a gentleman I happen to know. Okay, haven't seen him in going on 15 years. Joe Sikowski, a 8.62-pound landlocked salmon taken out of Merrill Creek Reservoir, which surprised me. As soon as I saw the news, I said, had to be Aeroflex or Way Wayana, two of the first lakes that were stocked when the program began. Join us. I put a call into Craig right away. Join us on the line is Craig Lemon to talk about the salmon briefly. And also, we had a delivery of fish down to the DOD down nearby Pedricktown, DOD management area. Good bass water right there bordering the Delaware. He has a prize for us. Now, Craig, let's get right to it. How you doing, brother?
We're doing good this morning, man. All excited.
Congratulations on the salmon, Craig. Go into this. Merrill Creek, that hasn't been on the program that long.
No, we only started stocking in November 18, so it's only been like 3 years. Those fish are growing ridiculous up there.
What's that?
Guys are sending me pictures, and I'm like, how are you catching those fish like that already?
What's that, 3 or 4 inches a year rate of growth?
4 inches and 2.5 pounds a year. That's nuts. You know, talk to those guys at the rip in Mass where we get them from.
Right.
And they can't believe the growth rates, but, you know, a little bit warmer water, a little bit further south than Mass. And those fish were born in Maine. Those are Maine eggs.
Right.
So they've made quite a little trip, you know,
well, Greg,
Maine to Mass to New Jersey.
Now they see stocking browns way back in Merrill Creek and also around Valley, but that attests to the strength of that herring forage base, does it not?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. We're not stocking big numbers. You know, Merrill Creek's only gotten 1,700 fish in the last 3 years total. So
wow.
I think that's another reason why you're seeing some monsters coming out of there.
Okay.
And Joe even said that he thought he'd see that state record broken here. You know, he just broke it, and he's thinking it's going to get broken again.
Craig, I wouldn't doubt again at that rate of growth. Well, let's get to some exciting news for the South Jersey freshwater angler. Now, some of the bass guys are like, we don't like those fish in our bass waters. Other guys, well, let's see. Would I rather catch a 3 or 4 pound bass, or what was delivered, Craig? What do we have in the potential growth rate? Go.
We brought a few hundred purebred muskies down there last week, and, yeah, they're not going to impact the bass. There's going to be plenty of bass to catch. But, you know, you reel in a 45, 50-inch muskie every once in a while. A lot of guys are looking for a sausage in South Jersey. So, there you go.
And the DOD, the beautiful water for them, and that'll help. Hey, hopefully these things, when they get big enough, they'll make an impact on those snakeheads that got in there.
Yeah, I'm going to have to start teaching them how to eat snakeheads. But I think at this point, we'll let them. Snakeheads be a South Jersey thing, not a North Jersey thing.
And, Craig, I understand the hatchery also stocked bass in a pond down South Jersey with these fingerlings or fry or what?
Yeah, no, they were like 3 to 4 inch fish.
Okay.
You know, nice and chunky. And they went in Riverview Beach Park Pond and Strawbridge Lake.
There you go. Good.
Well,
Riverview is a little smaller venue, but the Strawbridge, good bass potential there. So, listen, again, it's not Sackettstown's not just a North Jersey thing. You would think that. They do spread the fish around, these sockets, these pure strain muskies coming down here to DOD. Craig, just off the top of your head, do you think there's some other waters? I know the Osaka program was tried back in the 90s when you, Carberry, was there at the Freshwater South Region office. And they tried in some of the river systems. I think it was Cooper. Was it the Raccoon Creek? What, Rancocas? they didn't seem to take. I mean, they're escape artists. I'm sure a lot of those fish went right to the Delaware.
Yeah, I think a lot of them got right in the river. Yeah, yep.
Well, Greg,
Cooper River in Camden, that area, I've heard some pretty big fish caught out of there.
Yep.
Big muskies. Yeah.
Yeah, we run down there. We fish for bass and snakeheads. I told the one guy along the bank, he's tossing a spinnerbait the size of my head. And he says, yeah, and he was at the one pocket there where a little creek comes in. And he says, there are some muskies here. He says, not many, maybe one or two a year, but enough there to pique the interest of the trophy hunter.
Yeah, I think it's up to the hatchery to get some quality fish down there. You know, you can't stock little fish. They're going to have to be big fish. Stay away from those bass.
Right now, Craig, with the forage bases down here, do you see these fish, a pretty good growth rate on these muskies?
Oh, yeah, they're going to grow great. I mean, there's a lot of prey in those lakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Cooper River's loaded with gizzard shad, and they probably...
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're going to love that.
Oh, yeah. Well, Craig, congratulations. Congratulations on the state record salmon. And listeners, we have muskies, more muskies coming down here in set. It's going to take some years to build it up, but we will have, I swear to it, before I am dust in the winter, there's going to be a viable sockeye fishery down here. I'd just like to see maybe some tigers make their way down here as well.
Yeah, I think you'll see that in the near future. Yeah.
Well, Craig, again, congratulations, man. You take care.
Yep. Have a good weekend.
Well, congratulations on it. Sam, yeah, we have a sockets here. Okay, grab that cup, grab that rainbow. Coming back, Joe Lesky, Division of Fish and Wildlife's R3 Mentor Program. Some stuff going on, man. Good news. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
There's nothing better than being in love with your home. When you switch to safe, reliable, and affordable natural gas, you'll love the longer, warmer showers, precise cooking temperatures, and cozy home heat. You'll adore the savings, too. So switch to natural gas, save energy and money, and fall in love with your home all over again. Learn more at southjerseygas.com/lovemyhome or call us at 218-217-0864.
Deborah Heart and Lung Center and Cleveland Clinic Heart, Vascular, and Thoracic Institute have formed a powerful alliance. Legends in Caregiving New Jersey Families, the most sophisticated heart team in America. Innovators in research and patient care who've made life better for thousands of patients, raising the standard for the next generation of care. The alliance between Deborah Heart and Lung Center and Cleveland Clinic Heart, Vascular, and Thoracic Institute means the highest quality care close to home for you. DemandDeborah.org.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Just a reminder, Division of Fish and Wildlife is still putting out those chuckers for dog training. Birds went out last night for today in the Rack and Fin Radio listening area. Assinpink, Collier's Mills, Manasquan, Stafford Forge, Glassboro, Millville, and Tuckahoe Wildlife Management areas. Hey, good luck to the youth waterfowlers that are going to be going out there. I was up there last week. Again, went to the Trappers Convention. Again, this was very fortunate. I get to travel the state. I mean, I saw loads of woodies getting set. Today is the Youth Waterfowl Day in the North Zone. Next week, the 16th in the South Zone, and October 30th in the Coastal Zone. Hey, Division of Fish and Wildlife, also, I mean, they're working hard with this. They're really making it not easier, more convenient. Get people out there. They have a new app out. It's called the Hunting and Trapping Explorer. Check it out. Go to njfishandwildlife.com. All the information's about it. Finding exactly where you want to go. Now, the R3 program within the division, recruit, retain, reactivate, or however the three are lined up, is going strong. They have a workshop lined up for next week. Field to Freezer Deer Processing Workshop. It was going to be at Garden State Archers at Larison Road up there in Wrightstown. And I think it was all the spaces were filled in what? 20 spaces filled in 20 minutes? It's right by the division is really going gangbusters with this. Join us online right now. Very special guest. First time on Rack and Fin Radio is Joe Lesky. He is a principal biologist and supervisor of hunter education and the R3 program with the Division of Fish and Wildlife. I believe a 25 plus year veteran within the division. He's seen changes and the division, listeners, one of the best in the country. It's growing. It's expanding. We're making it. I can't say we as a licensed buyer and stamp buyer and whatever for going on what? five plus decades. It's great to see from way back when to now the changes in society, changes in population, changes in land use, development all over the place, residential and commercial. What the division is doing is nothing short of phenomenal. Again, getting the people involved. Joe Lesky, how you doing? Thanks for joining us on Rack and Finn, little brother. What's up?
What's going on? Great to be here, Tom.
Hey,
appreciate you having me on.
Hey, more than my pleasure. Lesky, I've been in the air 18 years now. You've avoided me for 18 years. I finally caught you.
I can be wily.
Wily as in the coyote. Well, Joe, listen, real quickly, on the Field of Freezer Deer Processing Workshop, I know it's full. It's next week. It's packed up. Any other programs like this being planned? I mean, this is great. I want to go into the, we don't have much time, Joe, but the R3 program is really, really taking hold and expanding, and you and a crew are doing a great job.
Yeah, like you said, the R3 program, which stands for Recruitment, Retention, and Reactivation,
there you go.
It's, you know, simply a result of a decline in the hunting and shooting sports participation. So the R3 program, you'll hear, using that term quite a bit,
mm-hmm.
Is to try and get, hunters either reactivated or recruit them. And if they're already in there, let's retain them. So one of those aspects is this Field of Freezer program that we have going on. And it did, like you said, fill up rather quickly.
Because,
this is something people wanted to find out. It's like, okay, I've shot my deer. Now what do I do with it?
Mm-hmm.
So it is a logistical task. We have to find, obviously, the deer and the processors and things mm-hmm. of that sort. But I know, as myself, and I'm sure you included, going up and going through these types of things, you kind of just start maybe hacking into, the meat there, trying to figure out what you're doing. And this program.
Excuse me. Did you talk to my niece, Denise Marie? Did you talk to her? Listen, I used to do the whole thing, cut the deer skin, the whole bit. When I left my second thumb in the stew meat package, I said, "It's time to go to a processor, man."
Right. Well, for those of you scoring at home, like the back hindquarter has three major, groups of muscle meat, and it's, the top round, bottom round, and the eye round. I thought the eye round, there was something wrong with it because it's a lighter color, and not knowing that was kind of a hidden, tenderloin for me, but that was, my ignorance and my not knowing the ways of how to process, mm-hmm. a deer properly. So This program will help kind of peel back the layers of the onion and show, all right, we've done all the work to get up to that, processing mm-hmm. and harvesting that deer. Let's process it properly our own way. So these are going to go like hotcakes. So
mm-hmm.
We are already trying to plan one up for the north, like you mentioned. This first one, which is, October 16th,
right.
is in Wrightstown, which is centrally located.
Exactly. Yep.
So, there's going to be a big want for this type of program.
Well, Joe, formulating these, I mean, the brain trust involved, I call it the head banging involved, running things by, trial and error type thing. This has to be an exhaustive task.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're looking at, let me interrupt you a second, not to be rude, but it's my part. But the age factor, and then you have on the younger end, the social media factor. Attentions are so divided. Recruiting the older guy, again, the crossbow got some older guys and gals back into it. Not as many as thought, maybe. But the numbers are, unfortunately, hunter numbers, a little flat right now, but they seem to be, again, not increasing to any great degree right now. So that's
correct.
A daunting challenge. R3 is, I guess, listen, it's, what's that old Confucius saying? I always mess it up, but the end of a 1,000-mile journey begins with the first step type thing, or however that goes. But this is a step in the right direction.
Absolutely. And, we're offering different things. We think of hunting as a tradition and things.
Right. Yeah.
It may have been, my father taught me and my grandfather, et cetera, et cetera. But now we have to tap into those other resources where, it could be, somebody in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, et cetera, that, want to be introduced to either hunting, trapping, or the shooting sport.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know where to begin because they weren't given those tools. So with this program, you know, we can kind of reach out and, you know, we had last spring, we had a great women's turkey hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, all these types of things, and it all just leads back to getting, you know, everybody that opportunity to get out there.
Well, Joe, this is, again, the next step from, I remember the apprentice program when that first came out. Boy, there was a lot of back and forth on that one. Well, that's proven to be a success, correct?
Correct. Yep. So, again, it's all that introductory thing. The number one thing that we would hear from is, you know, let's say they took their hunter education and mm-hmm. completed the course. The question is, now what?
Now what do I do? Joe,
now what do I do?
Let's switch gears just briefly for a second. Now, back to the hunter ed. You hear classes are filled, and are they accepting walk-ons or not? How have the classes been attendance-wise?
It's been pretty good, and that's a very interesting question, being that, you know, with the pandemic.
Right,
and, yeah, so we had to kind of, you know, change gears on a dime, as did the rest of the nation. And, you know, in the springtime when I came onto this new position, you know, attended some of the Northeast hunter education meetings, and mm-hmm. here in the other states going through the same thing as obviously we were, with trying to say, okay, now what? We can't have that in-person class. What do we do? And, you know, the staff that were there, you know, they changed on a dime, and they were able to adapt and overcome, which was, in my opinion, absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. They did a great job. The hunter ed instructors are amazing. They said, yep, whatever you need us to do, we'll do it.
Great.
And so, you know, those types of numbers of looking at, you know, numbers and things like that, it's kind of head scratching, because, you know, we're trying to relate it to, you know, maybe different species of apples, not necessarily apples to oranges. So,
okay. Okay, Joe. Well, Joe, we have to wrap it up. What can listeners that are interested in getting involved with the R3, what can they do to be a part of this?
Yeah, so our R3 program has a mentor training program where you could become a mentor and pass on your knowledge and skills of the hunting and trapping resource. So if you go to our website, njfishandwildlife.com, sign up for our R3 newsletter, sign up to become a mentor, you can get out there and pass on, you know, the hunting and shooting sports tradition.
Listen, what I found great, although they did it up north in Wallkill, going to do it down south because we got some really booty bushy tails down here. They had a squirrel hunt. That thing was beyond successful, Joe. That was why I told the people that said it was great.
It was awesome, and, you know, that's what this kind of program is about, is, you know, that positive feedback, and even though a lot of work goes into it, the outcome is fabulous.
Joe Lesky, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin Radio. Have a great fall season. Hope to run into the field one of these days, brother.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Take care, man. Joe Lesky rocks. Up against a break. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG. Talk Radio 95.5.
With colder weather on its way, now is the perfect time to get your comfort system tuned up. Right now, when you purchase a $69 heating tune-up, you'll get an AC tune-up free. Tune-ups can help catch small problems before they become major repairs. They can also extend the life of your units. We'll send a licensed Cardwell technician over to your home to inspect and address any routine maintenance your system might require. Take advantage of this great deal and ensure your home is comfortable for the whole year ahead. Visit CardwellHVACNJ.com to schedule your $69 tune-up today.
Boost your mood in New Jersey. Surprise yourself with new wonders or rediscover the places and faces you treasure most. Seek brilliant vistas, nature splendor, the moments that renew. Rise to the call of adventure at parks, forests, and family favorite attractions. Distinctive dining, inspiring art, history, and culture. Find it all at visitnj.org.
Like Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of October 9th and 10th. Let's switch gears a little bit. Again, a belated Happy New Year, opening the sea bass season yesterday, Friday. But I'll tell you one thing, you know, and there's still plenty of tog around. It's togicide along the jetty rocks and, you know, the inlet rocks. Still has some trigger fish around. Weak fish are showing up. What's sort of flying under the radar, because guys are working on the surf, is the incredible striped bass fishery going on again. Most of it, you know, catch and release. A lot of fish, you know, under that 28-inch mark, but more than a few over that 28-inch minimum keeper length. Along the jetties, Barnegat Inlet Jetty, down there, Townsend's Inlet Jetty, Longport, those jetties around there, there are plenty of bass around. But again, everyone's keyed naturally on the sea bass. God, what a flotilla of boats I saw heading out when I was flying over the Parkway Bridge Monday morning at first light, going out of the, what's that, Bass River, I guess they're going into Mullican, heading out. But good striper fishery, solid striper fishery, plugs, plastics, even some live bait going on. Joining us on the line right now, a very special friend, infrequent guest, because he's always fishing. If he's out working, he's fishing, is Chuck Snyder. Chuck fishes up that way. Barnegat Inlet is his specialty, but a jetty's a jetty's a jetty when it comes to the striper bite. Chuck, how's it going, little brother? Thanks for coming on this morning.
Tom, it's great. How are you today?
I'm just seeing the numbers you're pulling up there. You and your buds are catching a lot of bass. Again, as I read it, Chuck, it seems that, again, all the attention justifiably is on the sea bass. No one's really thinking stripers yet. The guys along the beach waiting for the mullet run, everything to really get going down the beach when the stripers start, you know, hitting that area. But you've been doing gangbusters in the inlets along the jetties.
That's correct. We fish the inlet all year long. We have residual fish that live there. Move it from the bay to the jetty, back to the bay, I think, is what happens.
Chuck, when did you notice the striper activity accelerating? I mean, the fluke season goes on. That ended, you know, in September. And then, you know, people were up there for the trigger fish and the sheep's head. Stripers have been under the radar for how long?
Well, stripers have been here all year long, all summer long. They don't ever go anywhere. But what happens, more people target flounder and other species and don't really fish for them. And so when you lose the ability to fish for flounder or tog or whatever the case may be, that people change their mode, and then they start fishing and realize that there's a lot of stripers around.
Chuck, there's been floods of peanuts, and now, I guess I was almost say corn cob size mullet pouring out there and inlet south. So a lot of food around for the bass.
Tons of food, tons of bait, and they love it. That brings in other species also. You know, we're lucky enough to be able to fish for stripers. There's always some bluefish in there too. And once you get through the bluefish to get to the stripers, it's great. But most recently, we've had the ability to catch some false albacore in the inlet. You know, 5 to 10 pound fish.
Whoa. You got the fat Alberts in the inlet?
In the inlet. Inside the inlet.
What?
Almost
back
in the bag.
You know, I've had some luck with them along the beaches, you know, a little later on in the fall. But actually, I never targeted them in the inlets. I figured it just didn't come in there.
Nope. So they showed up. I was there. I happened to be there yesterday. And we were striper fishing. And all of a sudden, you can see them crashing on top of the water. And just throwing little soft plastic baits at them. I caught three in about, I don't know, 40 minutes. It takes a while to reel them in. I'm like,
man. Those things will peel off 100 yards of line in a blink. Well, Chuck, let's get back to the bass. Your modus operandi, tide-driven, light-driven, a combination of both, or when you see, big movements of bait, you guys head out. What's the dealio?
For me, it's tide. It's all tide. I like the last of the incoming, the last hour of the incoming and the first hour of the outgoing. Seems to work the best for me. But you need to have tide. If you get a slack tide, you have no chance of catching anything but a bluefish. They just, the stripers completely turn off. But when it's an incoming tide, you can pull your boat right up to the north jetty, put it in neutral, and sit there for a second. Then it'll push you back off the rocks. As soon as you come back off the rocks, you put your bait down, make sure the line stays tight, and get it to the bottom, and you're very likely to catch a striper.
Now, by bait, what are you using?
I use spot, so that's all I've used for years and years and years.
Ooh.
When I see people out there with peanut bunker or a mullet or whatever the case may be, whatever local bait they can get.
That spot's a bad, what do they call them, a Cape May goodie. That's a badass little striper bait, man. Also, and the smaller sizes, flounder, love them.
Oh, I was next to a guy yesterday, just by chance, golf. He was fishing peanut bunker right next to me yesterday, and he stopped catching flounder at 20. He had over 20 flounder right at the North Monument.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he couldn't get away from it. He was trying to catch stripers also, and he couldn't get away from the flounder.
And, Chuck, I'm sure there's still flounder inside as well. You know, hopefully that thing next year will be all rectified. Maybe a slot fish, maybe an extension a week on either side of the season. But back to the Bass Jacket. I've done that a few times, though, plugging the jetties, getting up close. Listeners, you're using a Yuzuri Crystal Minnow, Daiwa SP Minnow, whatever, Rebel Rapala. You get in there, Chuck, it was basically one, maybe one and a half turns of the reel handle, and you were out of the zone. I don't know where these bass were coming from, but two and three would be vying to get the plug. Did you find that situation this early?
Absolutely. So when you can get on the other side, when you're on the north side of the north jetty with an incoming tide, you can throw your plug over into the inlet and kind of let it hang there and kind of work it that way. You don't have to, you can stay in the zone much longer, and the fish eventually will come up and waffle it.
Sure. Any particular color to these plugs, to these plastics you're using?
No, Tom. I think it's just
the profile.
They hear it. Almost every plug I use has some form of a rattle in it. The more noise it makes, the more the fish hear that or feel. You know, they all have lateral lines.
Right.
They pick up any vibrations in the water, and that's really part of the big take. Or a big popper on top to make noise also.
Or Chuck, a lot of mixed size bass in the works, or you're finding, for example, you're on fish and they're all in the 12 to 14, 16 inch zone, or they're in the 16 to 24 inch, you know, range. What's the deal?
Most of our fish are somewhere between 20 and 30.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of buddies who caught ones 38 on the jetty. I haven't caught one recently that big.
Whoa.
I have in the past, but not recently.
Finding more interest in the live bait offering as opposed to the artificials?
Yeah, because with the artificials, you have to get below the bluefish somehow. Otherwise, you're gonna, for every striper you catch, you're going to catch 10 bluefish, which is a blast, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're targeting stripers, and with, especially with bait, you have to get it down below the bluefish. Otherwise, they eat those things like candy.
That's the term goody. We're speaking with Chuck Snyder. He is a striper ace. Barnegat Inlet, also, again, bass or bass, whether Barnegat Inlet, I'll say Manasquan Inlet, I'll say Shark River Inlet, Townsend Inlet, Great, or, you know, Longport Inlet down in there, Hereford Inlet, bass or bass along the rocks. Chuck, what are you finding that, you know, I saw a guy with a keeper, and you know, legit, you know, the whole bit. It was loaded, Chuck. It was like it had a probably almost a double golf ball size wad of sand fleas in its gut.
Oh, wow.
When he was filleting it. Yeah, so, and that fish was inside. Now, the sand fleas are along the beach. I get that, but so these fish are moving in and out. Are they bay coming out to the inlet, going back in? Because that was obviously, that fish was obviously out front.
Yeah, I think they move all around. I mean, the water's so warm right now, especially, you know, right outside the inlet. Mm-hmm. They go outside the inlet into the surf for a little bit. Going over the jetty on the north side to Island Beach State Park, you know, it's not far for them to go at all because of the beach. So it's right over the rock pile just about.
Chuck, speaking of water temperatures, when is it going to really click where it's ideal? I mean, you're doing well now, but when all bass hell breaks loose, what's the range?
It's got to be somewhere close to 60 degrees, I would guess, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
It was 67 yesterday. So
that's still kind of warm, yeah.
Somewhere where you want to be for when the fish really start to move up here.
I wonder why that warm, well, plus the bait, why the albies were there.
I don't have an answer to know why they were there, but
yeah.
It's a blast. Thank God they were there. They were some kind of fun to catch.
Chuck, we're up against a hard break here. Joining us is Chuck Snyder. He is an ace up there, Barnegat Inlet Jetty, on the bass. And you mentioned albies are in there, plenty of bluefish in there, and it's all up and down the coast. Chuck, your fave, your go-to. You have an hour on the tide to fish, hour and a half, because I know you're in the contracting business. You're busy and all get out. What are you tying on the end of that line?
I have two favorites besides a bucktail. I love the paddle tail swimming plug or the 4-inch split tail minnows, like in white. But I use white on both those plugs or both those lures.
Right.
Strictly. That's all I use as ever is white, and they seem to love the white.
Chuck,
so, and that's, you know, the 4-inch split tail minnow is really just like a jerk bait. Throw it out there,
right?
Twitch it, reel, jerk it, reel, and something's going to hit it sooner or later. That's what I caught the albies on yesterday. So
that's a lot of fun.
Tom, on a different note, tomorrow, Sunday, happens to be my birthday. So,
well, there you go. Hold it. Let's get a new rack and fin cap and sweatshirt out to Chuck. You'll be getting something in the mail pretty soon. Like, happy birthday.
Thanks, Tommy.
So what are you going to be doing, man? Oh, don't tell me. You're going to be fishing.
I'm going to, nope. It depends on the weather. The weather doesn't look very nice right now.
Yeah, it's kind of gnarly, yep.
If I can fish, I'm going to fish. If not, I'll watch football.
Okay, man. How are those Eagles doing?
Ooh.
I'll talk to you soon, Chuck. Have a great weekend. Happy birthday, little brother.
Thanks, Tom.
We'll
have a great
day. You too. Man, that guy can catch some bass. Very understated. Chuck's not Yahoo like, oh, man, I'll catch a fish all over the place. He just, he goes out there and he does it. We're like the harmony of opposites. Okay, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's Talk Station.
Fox News. I'm Jill Nato. A judge had just blocked the tough Texas law banning most abortions, but an appeals court's put it back into effect.
Just one day after clinics across the state began serving patients once again, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals granted Texas a request of a temporary set-aside of a judge's order halting enforcement of that law while that case continues to be reviewed.
Fox's Kevin Cork. PG&E may have to cut power to much of Northern California because of wind and the chance their equipment could trigger fires. Meteorologist Kristen Werner of Fox TV affiliate KTXL in Sacramento.
The concern here is Monday into Tuesday. That's when we will see the strongest winds. Gusts may be above 50 miles an hour.
And officials say hundreds of giant sequoia trees may have burned in recent wildfires. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. For the overnight, partly cloudy skies, remaining mild, low just 61. Then for Saturday, some sunshine, then turning cloudy. Stray shower in the afternoon, high of 73. Saturday night, plenty of clouds, brief shower too, low of 66 degrees. Keeping an eye out for Sunday to be a wet day with cloudy skies. Periods of rain through the day with a high in the afternoon up to 74 degrees. I'm AccuWeather from Matt Benz on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Now, here we go. Rut is coming. Okay, I know it's early, but, you know, the predicate on where you are in New Jersey, we've seen obvious signs of it starting basically Christopher Columbus week up there in Sussex and Warren County, and as late down there, we have Beaver Swamp area in Cape May County. As late as, God, maybe that's a normal time, middle of November, maybe towards the end of November. But remember now, no doe urine lures allowed. No natural glands from deer allowed as per law. It's in the digest, and check it out. It's some serious stuff here. Prevent CWD, chronic wasting disease. Well, Yo Buck, we know Louis Mazzio from Yo Buck's been a guest on Rock and Fin Radio over the years many times. Great products there. He has now a synthetic doe estrus. Laura Louis, how's it going, man? Thanks for joining us on Rock and Fin. Tell us about the new product.
Good morning to you, brother. It's a synthetic doe estrus. I mean, with the there's a trend going all across the United States to combat the CWD. They're going to non-natural urine scents. From doe estrus, I mean, they're talking bedding scents, anything that you could use natural, buck testosterone, buck urine, anything. Everything's got to be synthetic.
Hey, Maz, check it out. Last week, and I'm up North Jersey scouting around, doing some stuff. Again, getting bear photos and things. There's plenty of bears up there. I happened to run into a CO. It was at the Trappers Convention at Space Farms up there in Beamerville. Now, we have another trapping convention coming out. They moved the air. It's going to be in a few weeks. Actually, it's going to be in November. We'll get to that in an upcoming show. Talked to CEO. I said, how are you enforcing this? He looked at me and says, Tom P., right? I said, yeah. He says, trust me, we are. It's a, Lou, now this is, I'm paraphrasing here. Pretty much the guy said, well, it's not a priority. It is something when we do check hunters. So I'm thinking to myself, what, are they going into their backpacks or what? Anyway, the word's out. You know, who knows, you know, how serious it is. But there is obviously, Lou, some enforcement going on.
Well, I would imagine it would have to be incidental. I mean, I don't think there's enough game wardens to just check everyone every day. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So it's going to be, if you get caught with a bottle of whatever product and it's a natural urine, you're going to pay the price.
That's it.
Regardless if you agree with the decision or not.
Now, Lou, you've been in the deer mineral business, deer scent business for decades. How do you come? Everyone I spoke with, no way the synthetics are as effective as the real thing. Now, the big companies, the huge companies have jumped on. They've been on board now with different types of whatever, artificial, synthetics. How do you answer that, that statement?
Well, I would say 4 years ago, but the company that we actually get the concentrated form from has really come a long way, and I challenge anybody to that. Last year, I killed two bucks, one in Ohio, one in New Jersey, using this product. So they can't seem to tell the difference now with the product that we're using. You have to be careful with some of the products because it's diluted too much.
There you go.
They're trying to, stretch it.
Spread it out, yeah.
Dollar, especially in today's, terrible economy that we're in. So, but we're not doing that. It's we're actually probably don't cut it enough right now. So, but no, it's a great product. I mean, we have plenty of people use it. We started with it last year just to see how it would go.
Right.
And we've had, I ran a sale, I'm running it right now, and we sold 200 bottles in about 23 minutes from return customers. So, people are buying it again because it doesn't work. They're buying it again because...
There you go.
You got it. Results.
Yeah, joining us online is Lou Maggio. Yo, Buck, Deer Mineral and Attractants, and his new estrus, synthetic doe estrus. So, as Louie said, it is working. And, Lou, deer hunters, some people, deer hunters, I'm not mentioning anyone in particular, buy anything new. It's coming out, you're buying it. But you have a tried and true client base, man, and they're hardcore. And I know some guys are going to tell you, if it's not working, they're going to tell you. But you seem to have hit the nail on the head right there. But, Lou, let's get to, again, one thing I want to touch on in your area, because we're going to be hunting that way probably within the next week or two, and then we get our permits for a permit bow. EHD. Now, you're based in Hamilton. That area through there, DMZ, what's it, 16, 8, 20, 21, go all the way down through the Southlands. What's...
We got 23, 25, 26, a little bit of 42.
Yeah, we're going to be down by the Mays Landing area. Haven't seen much in the EHD problem down there. What's it like in your area? Some areas I'm hearing local herds are getting hammered.
Yes, we experienced this about a decade ago in our area, especially Zone 23. The 206 corridor right there from Hamilton.
That got
destroyed about a decade ago. I mean, it was to the point where we didn't even bother hunting it. I don't think the first time in decades you didn't see a truck parked on the side of the road. EHD, we're not getting hit with it terrible here. I heard a couple rumors towards, unfortunately for you, the main landing area that guys were finding some deer.
But I just heard that.
Right now, in 23, 26, and 25, we haven't seen an effect. But we do have a lot of water.
Right.
And that may be the reason why it's not spreading as fast here. Because what they do is, they get the prion in their brain. They desire water terribly. They go to water. And if you have a drought and they find puddles, they drink from it, other deer drink from it, and then the disease is spread that way. But if there's a lot of flowing water, stuff like that, of course you're going to see not such a big impact on the herd that's here.
I'll tell you, Lou, my travels the past 3 weeks, a month, I've talking to everyone, going to club meetings and talking to individual hunters and stuff, some areas, man, it's like you said, they got hammered.
It does. It comes fast. And then, there's a lot of reasons for that. I mean, of course, these diseases aren't new. CWD, CWD, these diseases aren't new. The problem is we have a lack of hunters. We have a lot of buildup, so you're concentrating deer herds in smaller parts of the woods. And, they're not as many deer are being harvested as they should be, and they're concentrated. So these are some of the consequences. And to be honest with you, banning certain things is not going to make less of a concentration of deer.
Listen, again, with CWD, chronic wasting disease, your Yo Buck Deer Mineral has a CWD guard in it. Can you explain that, please?
Well, so there's humic acid in it. So a professor up in the college in Canada, right now it's eluding me, but he did a study, and humic acid in the soil actually breaks down the CWD in the soil. So what we did is we took this study, which is now being started to talk about with certain biologists in Tennessee and everything, that this might actually be something to go off of.
Okay.
Well, 2 years ago, we decided to start putting, now you can only put a very small amount in this, and it's not a medication for the deer. I'm not claiming that if the deer with CWD eats Yobuck, that deer is going to be cured from CWD.
Okay.
That's not how this is working. What
right.
we're doing is we're getting the humic acid into the soil at our mineral site. So we are not a cause of a CWD spread. You
okay.
understand
yep.
what I'm saying?
Exactly.
We're treating the soil that's there to avoid us being part of a problem. Because that's, as someone who's in this business, we should try to be as responsible as we can.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lou, a lot of people I spoke to, not a lot, I should say, a significant amount, you know, because chronic wasting disease, rather, supposedly stopped around Lancaster County in PA. It's getting closer and closer to Jersey. Some hunters, again, dyed-in-wool guys, been around years and years, decades, say it's here already. But I don't know. In all my travels, I have not seen evidence of that. Talk to the biologist, you know, who they want to be on top of this naturally. But some guys swear by it, so swear that it
well,
is here.
I'm a true believer that CWD's always been around. It took until, I believe, the 70s for in the Midwest, because there was a reason to test for it. I think that not all deer get sick and die from CWD, because even in Tennessee, the numbers where they have it really bad in their lower, in their southern, western part of their state,
right?
They're shooting healthy deer, what they believe to be is a healthy deer, and they're checking it in, and now every deer is being tested. So now they're finding it. But there was no signs that deer was sick.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, there you go.
So it's CW's here. It's a disease. We get the flu. It's not new. Deer get CWD. Some get sick and die from it. Some don't. That's an argument we could have about the reasons why another day.
Okay, Lou, before I let you go, give that Facebook page, website, homepage. What do you got? Go.
Listen, go to www.yobuck.com to order Doestrus right now. It's marked down to $10 a bottle. We'd love and appreciate your business.
Ho-ho!
We're a New Jersey-owned, veteran-owned, and operated company, and we could really use your support right now.
Okay, well,
so
I'm putting out...
Give the little guy a shot.
Okay, I'm all well and good, but I'm challenging you. I'm going to get you out of your venue area for a while. I am challenging you to a shore-bound trout fishing contest at Hamilton Lake in 2 weeks when the trout stocking gets underway in South Jersey. What do you got? You ready?
I'm ready. Whatever you want to do, I'm ready.
Uh-oh. I didn't expect him to...
contact me, and I'm not a very good trout fisherman, so you're probably going
to
win.
Well, I didn't expect him to take me up on that, people. And then afterwards, we'll commiserate over a couple of colons at the Piccalilli on 206.
Or maybe I could fry up some cutlets.
Ooh.
Down at the farm, and we can, you know, do
okay.
it that way.
Okay,
like,
sounds good.
A little better.
Louis, I'll be in touch next week. Take care, brother.
Thank you so much.
See ya. Bye-bye. Louis Maggio, Yo Buck, Stuff Works. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
So what is Talk With a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk With a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk With a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
The more options you have, the better, New Jersey. So if you have Medicare, give yourself choice and flexibility with UnitedHealthcare. As New Jersey's number one Medicare Advantage plan provider, UnitedHealthcare offers a wide range of Medicare Advantage plans designed to fit your health and budget needs, including plans for those that qualify for both Medicaid and Medicare, so you can find the coverage that works best for you. With Medicare Advantage plans from UnitedHealthcare, you can get a $0 plan premium, $0 copay on covered prescriptions, primary care visits, preventative dental coverage, hearing coverage, and more. Take advantage of the choice and flexibility of Medicare Advantage plans from United Healthcare. Call America's number one Medicare plan provider today at 1-877-622-1896. That's 1-877-622-1896. United Healthcare can help you find just the right plan for you. Call 1-877-622-1896 today. Benefits, features, or devices vary by plan and area. Limitations and exclusions apply.
This is Harry Hurley on behalf of the Atlantic City Rescue Mission Charity Center Thrift Store. It's really awesome. The Charity Center Thrift is centrally located in Atlantic County at 221 Tilton Road in Northfield, New Jersey. The hours of operation are Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. The Atlantic City Rescue Mission Charity Center Thrift has a wide variety of clothes and other items in both brand new and gently used condition. They're at 221 Tilton Road in Northfield. It's the Atlantic City Rescue Mission Charity Center Thrift. The hours of operation are Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and the Charity Center Thrift is located at 221 Tilton Road in Northfield. This is Harry Hurley for the Atlantic City Rescue Mission. If you have any questions, visit the Atlantic City Rescue Mission, Dan Brown and their great team at acrescuemission.org.
Don't mind me, just sneaking out to go to Kohl's. The home deals right now, they're too good to pass up. Like up to 40% off Cuddle Ned's bedding, up to 50% off the cutest fall decor, and up to 25% off Ninja kitchen appliances. How can I resist? You can even get 15% off or 15, 20, or 30% off with a Kohl's card. So, yeah, I'm going all in for fall, and I can't even wait. Select styles. Offers end October 17th. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
The shift from warm days to cooler and cozier ones just makes you want to switch up your look. Luckily, Ulta Beauty's gorgeous hair event is happening now, so you can discover your best hair this fall. Get up to 50% off hair care essentials from your favorite brands like Briogeo and Revlon, and restore your hair with incredible deals on shampoo and conditioner pairs from brands like Redken. So don't miss out. This event ends October 23rd. Shop in-store, online, or try curbside pickup today. Ulta Beauty. The possibilities are beautiful.
Installing brand new carpets shouldn't mean putting your life on hold. Enjoy a simplified installation experience at the Home Depot by licensed local professionals. With an unbeatable selection of affordable styles, colors, and fabrics that are durable and low maintenance, including options that are odor and stain resistant. And right now, you can get your carpet installed for free. Get started today at the Home Depot. Free carpet installation on purchases of $4.99 or more. No square foot minimum. Excludes in-stock styles. U.S. only. See store for details.
Napa Know How. At Napa, buy a 5-quart jug of Mobil 1 motor oil and save $10 on a pair of wiper blades. It's the perfect autumn deal. Mobil 1 for colder weather, new wipers for the rain, and an extra $10 to buy Halloween candy you'll most likely eat yourself. We're not judging. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating locations, does not include taxes and fees. Advertised sale price not available in some states. Ends 10/31/21.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And that'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. But wait, wait, wait. Do we have an on-the-water report? Captain Dave the Rave Show, Lipseka Bay Sports and Center, 81 Natalie Terrace at Lipseka. He is on the water somewhere, and I'm sure he is on those best. Captain Dave, what's up, bro?
Well, Great Bay has been great for the last week or so. It's really amazing. Actually, we're almost to the point that there's too much bait. These fish are filling themselves up, and it's just amazing. There's peanut bunker, they're spearing. Mostly the peanut bunker are everywhere. We've been having a good bite. Go back to Tuesday was a little bit, was just a little bit, yeah, messy, a little wind out of the north, and yep, out of the northeast, and the bait came pounding in, and the bass were behind them. I had a couple of young hot shots, and we put, well, I've been saying 50 because people won't believe the 60. It was 60 plus.
Wow. 50,
you know, in the water, in the boat that day. And right now we're not doing the same thing. It's been, the last couple of days have been nice. We've been picking. You pick a fish, and he's just spitting up peanut bunker, and there's no room.
There you go.
Yeah, sometimes they will hit the gulp because it's gulp, and they just need one more gulp down.
Okay. Captain Dave, listen, I came flying over to Parkway. It was just about getting light Friday morning. I looked to the left there, you know, by exit 48, Chesaneck Boatyard. There were two boats working opposite ways up and down those sedge banks. Are they trolling for those bass? This was just the first light.
Trolling. I haven't had any real reports on the trollers, but there are guys trolling out here. I'm casting the banks. I've been dropping some spot in the bigger, in the deeper waters, and been picking a few. And usually the spot are a little bit bigger, but it is, if you're not out in the dark, it is hard to get the keepers. But like I said, I haven't been in contact with these guys that are actually
okay.
Trolling to see if they're getting any. I did hear a great report from last weekend at the Egg Harbor River where guys were banging them away.
They were bailing. Yeah, I heard that. I heard the exact same thing.
On the trolling, but up here, I know I've been catching enough. I'm happy, and everybody else has been happy. So, and I just love these freshwater bass outfits, and so if they're only two to 5 pounds, that's still a lot of fighting.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I got over 100 bass in the boat in the last week, so we're just seeing what we can do today. It's early. Tide's just starting to come in. I think, it seems like when the tide's running has been my best shot.
Gotcha.
Whatever direction. Hasn't really made a whole lot of difference.
Okay, Captain Dave, we're up against Ray. I'll see you this week, man.
Okay, yeah, it's a good day. Looks like a good week coming.
Got it.
Get past tomorrow's miserable weather, it looks like, but going to be a good week next week.
I hope to drop down Natalie Terrace. I'm planning to be in the area next Tuesday or Wednesday, Dave. I'll see you then. Yeah, Dave is out there. Oh, just a quick reminder, next week, the Division of Fish and Wildlife Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries Autumn Stocking Program gets underway down at the top end of the Rackfin Radio listening area. The waters that will be stocked are the Manasquan River, the north and south branches of the Matitoconk, and also the Toms River and the Toms River Conservation Area. The following week, South Jersey gets loaded, and we'll go into that next week. Waters like Greenwich Lake, Greenock Lake, Hamilton Lake, Morris River, man, they are going to pack this up with two-year-old rainbows. Okay, see you next week. Rack and Fin Radio, God bless America, God bless our troops, God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next week.
95.5 FM and